heart of the ancient world, where legends were etched into reality, there lived a woman named Europa. Her home was nestled along the shores of the sun-kissed Mediterranean, a region now known as Lebanon. Europa, born a princess of Tyre, possessed a beauty so radiant that it turned the heads of both gods and mortals. But Europa's beauty was no ordinary blessing. It was a reflection of her extraordinary lineage. She was not only the daughter of King Agenor, but also a descendant of the illustrious Io, a mortal who had captured the heart of Zeus, the king of all gods. It was as if the divine bloodline coursed through Europa's veins, setting the stage for a destiny intertwined with the very fabric of mythology. Among her siblings were Cadmus, Cilix, and Phoenix, each bearing their own destinies yet to be unveiled. However, it was Europa, with her ethereal beauty and grace, who would emerge as the central figure in a tale destined to resonate through the ages. High above the mortal realm, atop the sacred Mount Olympus, where gods and goddesses reigned supreme, Zeus, the ruler of the divine pantheon, found himself spellbound by Europa's earthly allure. His insatiable appetite for love and adventure knew no bounds, prompting him to descend from his celestial abode to the shores of Tyre. There, beneath the brilliant sun, Zeus devised a cunning plan to win the heart of the mortal maiden who had ensnared his divine attention. On that fateful day, Europa and her companions reveled by the sparkling shoreline, their laughter and merriment echoing through the air. Little did Europa know that her life was on the precipice of a profound transformation. Suddenly, emerging from the azure waves, a majestic white bull graced the scene, its coat shimmering like moonlight dancing on the water's surface. As Europa approached the magnificent creature, her companions watched in awe as she tenderly caressed the bull's powerful flanks. Unbeknownst to her, this bull was not what it seemed. It was the earthly vessel of Zeus himself, who had taken this form to approach Europa. As Europa continued to stroke the bull's majestic form, she found herself captivated by its docility. Unbeknownst to her, Zeus, shrouded in the guise of the bull, knelt before her, offering himself as a noble steed. Europa, ensnared in the enchantment of the moment, yielded to temptation and mounted the bull's back. With Europa astride him, Zeus, disguised as the magnificent bull, ventured into the azure embrace of the Mediterranean. At first, Europa's heart pounded with fear, uncertainty swirling within her. But it was too late to turn back, for the bull bore her away from the safety of the shore. Minutes turned into hours as the shoreline grew distant. Europa's fear gradually gave way to a strange sense of awe and wonder. She clung to the bull's back, a mortal maiden swept up in the embrace of a god concealed in bovine form. Zeus, in the guise of the bull, carried Europa across the boundless expanse of the Mediterranean Sea. Europa's initial trepidation surrendered to the beauty of the sea, its ever-shifting hues of blue and green a testament to nature's majesty. At long last, the bull, guided by the hand of Zeus, set foot on the shores of Crete. Beneath the protective boughs of a towering cypress tree, Zeus shed his earthly disguise, revealing his true divine form. There, on the shores of Crete, Europa and Zeus, mortal and god, found themselves locked in a passionate and transcendent embrace. Their union, born of desire and fate, would herald profound consequences, forever altering the course of Greek mythology. Europa, now bearing the seed of Zeus within her, would become the mother of three remarkable sons, Minos, Rhadamanthus, and Sarpedon. With the break of dawn, Zeus returned to his celestial throne on Mount Olympus, leaving Europa behind on the enchanting island of Crete. Yet, Europa's story had only just begun, as she would go on to marry Crete's regent, King Asterion, who would raise her sons as if they were his own. Europa's life on the enchanting island of Crete took an unexpected twist as the destinies of her sons became ever more entangled with the island's own. In due course, her eldest son, Minos, ascended to the throne, becoming the ruler of Crete. This marked the inception of a tale that would plunge the island deep into the shadows of myth and legend. Minos, born of the divine union between Europa and Zeus, grew into a formidable king. He was a man of both wisdom and strength, possessing the charisma and power to unite the disparate regions of Crete under his rule. His reign was marked by prosperity and the flourishing of Cretan civilization. Yet beneath the surface of this golden age, a dark undercurrent began to stir. To cement his claim to the throne and strengthen his connection to the divine, King Minos turned his gaze to the god of the sea, Poseidon. He beseeched Poseidon for a sign of divine favor, seeking to solidify his rule over Crete. In response, Poseidon, the master of the watery depths, decided to grant Minos a gift of profound significance, a resplendent white bull whose coat gleamed like the purest moonlight emerging from the azure waves of the Mediterranean. This magnificent creature, born from the depths of Poseidon's realm, would come to be known as the Cretan Bull. It was a creature of unparalleled beauty, a living symbol of divine favor and power, intended to strengthen Minos's rule and elevate him to a truly celestial status. Poseidon's gift, however, came with an explicit expectation, an obligation that King Minos would offer the Cretan bull as a sacrificial token of gratitude to the gods. It was to be a gesture of humility and reverence, a recognition of the divine favor bestowed upon the king. The ritual was meant to cement the bond between man and god, securing Crete's prosperity for generations to come. Poseidon, the indomitable god of the sea, watched with divine omniscience as King Minos received the Cretan bull, expecting the fulfillment of the agreed-upon ritual. However, when Minos beheld the magnificent beast, he found himself ensnared by its breathtaking beauty and power. The bull's presence was intoxicating, and Minos was reluctant to part with such a symbol of prestige and divine favor. In a fateful decision, one that would set in motion a series of tragic events, King Minos chose to deceive the gods. Rather than sacrificing the Cretan bull as promised, he opted to substitute it with a lesser creature, believing that Poseidon would neither discern nor be moved by the deceit. This act of treachery, born of hubris, would unleash Poseidon's divine wrath in a manner that Minos could never have anticipated. Poseidon, a god not to be trifled with, could not be deceived by the cunning of mortals. He observed King Minos's deceitful act with a mixture of anger and disappointment. Enraged by Minos's arrogance and betrayal, Poseidon decided to exact a revenge that would resonate through the annals of history. In an act of divine retribution, Poseidon chose to transfer the deep affection and desire that King Minos had harbored for the Cretan bull onto an unexpected recipient, Minos's own wife, Queen Pasiphae. This transfer of desire would lead Pasiphae down a dark and unnatural path, a journey into the heart of forbidden passions that defied both reason and the laws of nature. The queen, already skilled in the arcane arts of sorcery, was helpless in the face of Poseidon's divine intervention. Her overwhelming lust for the Cretan bull was a force that transcended mortal understanding, a desire that could neither be denied nor controlled. Desperate to fulfill her unnatural cravings, Queen Pasiphae sought a solution to her predicament, an answer that lay in the hands of a master craftsman, Daedalus, the ingenious inventor of Crete. Daedalus, renowned throughout Greece for his unmatched craftsmanship and inventive genius, faced an extraordinary and unsettling request from Queen Pasiphae. She approached him with a clandestine plea, one that would forever bind his name to the darkest corners of mythology. Inside her private chambers, away from prying eyes and whispers of scandal, Pasiphae revealed her agonizing secret to Daedalus. She sought his expertise in crafting a lifelike hollow cow, constructed entirely of wood. This wooden cow was to be meticulously designed to resemble a living, breathing bovine in every conceivable way. The bizarre and unsettling task that Queen Pasiphae presented to Daedalus had but one purpose: to serve as a vessel of deception, a vessel through which her illicit desires could be fulfilled. Daedalus, the brilliant inventor and artisan, accepted the challenge with a heavy heart, for he knew that he was being drawn into a web of darkness and forbidden passions. Under his skilled hands, the wooden cow took shape, its form so lifelike that even the most discerning eye would be hard-pressed to distinguish it from a real beast. Daedalus labored tirelessly, sculpting every detail with meticulous care. He imbued the wooden cow with an uncanny semblance of life, creating an illusion so convincing that even nature itself might be fooled. The completion of this enigmatic creation marked the beginning of a sequence of events that would forever alter the destiny of Crete and its unfortunate inhabitants. Pasiphae, consumed by her unnatural desires and longing for the Cretan bull, prepared to enter the hollow wooden cow. Concealed within its artificial form, the bull mounted the wooden cow, an act that would seal the tragic fate of both Queen Pasiphae and her unborn child. In the eerie twilight of that fateful day, their strange and forbidden coupling unfolded in a way that defied the natural order of the world. It was a moment that would etch itself indelibly into the annals of Greek mythology. Months passed, and Queen Pasiphae's unnatural pregnancy continued to grow within her. Her belly swelled with life, but this was no ordinary gestation. It was a pregnancy marked by otherworldly forces and unnatural beginnings. When the day of birth finally arrived, it was an event that sent shockwaves through the heart of Crete. Pasiphae's labor was a torment of both anguish and wonder, as she brought forth a child who defied the laws of nature itself. This newborn was not merely a baby, it was a grotesque fusion of man and bull. This creature was named Asterion, named after the first king of Crete. At the moment of its birth, Asterion was thrust into a world that would never fully accept or understand it. The child, bearing both human and bovine features, was a living embodiment of the forbidden desires that had brought it into existence, a creature both pitied and feared. Asterion's entrance into the world was marked by an eerie and foreboding silence. It was a moment that would haunt the kingdom of Crete for generations to come, setting in motion a series of events that would forever be etched in the annals of Greek mythology. As the child's cries echoed through the palace, its fate was sealed, a fate entwined with the labyrinthine depths of King Minos's kingdom. As Asterion continued to grow, so did the savage nature that lurked within its hybrid form. The brutish traits of a bull became increasingly pronounced, and its behavior grew more unpredictable and dangerous with each passing day. The court of Crete, once a place of opulence and refinement, was no longer safe with the monstrous offspring of Pasiphae in its midst. The transformation of Asterion was not only physical, but also psychological. Its human intellect, if it ever possessed one, seemed to wane with the passage of time. It became increasingly difficult to discern whether the creature had any vestiges of humanity left within its monstrous frame. King Minos, faced with the ever-mounting menace of Asterion, found himself grappling with a nightmarish dilemma. The presence of this grotesque entity in his kingdom posed a threat to the stability of his rule and the safety of his people. It was during this time that the creature born of divine desire and unnatural circumstances earned a new name, one that would forever resonate through the ages, the Minotaur. The moniker, a fusion of Minos and Taurus, the Latin word for bull, not only acknowledged the beast's monstrous form, but also its connection to the king and the Cretan bull. Within the walls of the palace, as whispers of the Minotaur's monstrous nature spread, the fear and unease among the courtiers and subjects grew palpable. Visitors to Crete were shocked and horrified by the creature's appearance, and its very presence cast a shadow of darkness over the once thriving kingdom. Despite his deep affection for Queen Pasiphae, King Minos knew that he had to take drastic action to safeguard his kingdom and quell the growing unrest among his people. It was in this dire moment that he sought counsel from the Oracle of Delphi, a revered source of divine wisdom and guidance. The Oracle's counsel was unequivocal. King Minos must enlist the skills of Daedalus, the master craftsman of Crete. Daedalus, renowned for his inventive genius and unmatched craftsmanship, was tasked with an undertaking of monumental proportions, to create a labyrinth, a structure of incomprehensible complexity, in which the Minotaur could be imprisoned. The labyrinth to be constructed beneath the grand palace of King Minos in Knossos would be unlike anything the world had ever seen. Its passages twisted and turned, crossed over one another, and led to dead ends with no apparent start or finish. Even Daedalus himself, the brilliant architect of this formidable maze, would find it challenging to navigate its bewildering corridors. The labyrinth of the Minotaur, a subterranean creation concealed beneath the opulent palace, was designed with a malevolent purpose, to baffle and ensnare any who ventured within. Its intricate layout defied reason, and its very existence was a testament to the determination of King Minos to contain the monstrous menace that had been born within his kingdom. Daedalus, despite his unease at being embroiled in this dark chapter of Crete's history, set to work with unwavering dedication. He crafted the labyrinth with meticulous precision, ensuring that its design would bewilder and entrap anyone who dared to enter. The construction of the labyrinth was shrouded in secrecy, and its existence was known only to a select few. As the final stones were laid, and the labyrinth's foreboding entrance sealed from the outside world, it became a place of confinement, a nightmarish domain from which there was no escape. The Minotaur, now confined within the labyrinth's shadowy depths, awaited its grim fate. Its monstrous hunger for flesh and blood could only be satiated by the unfortunate souls who would soon be delivered to its lair, a grim ritual that would perpetuate the terror of the Minotaur for years to come. Within the heart of Crete, the Minotaur, imprisoned in its labyrinthine lair, hungered for sustenance. King Minos, ever resourceful and ruthless, devised a gruesome solution to appease the insatiable appetite of this monstrous creature, a solution that would plunge Athens into a cycle of tragedy and horror. Simultaneously, tensions simmered between Crete and Athens, fueled by a tragic incident that had taken place years earlier. The catalyst for this animosity was the untimely death of Androgeus, the son of King Minos, who had met his demise while a guest in Athens. In the face of Crete's military might, Athens had been compelled to pay a grievous tribute to the Cretan kingdom. Every 9 years, 14 young Athenians, 7 young men and 7 maidens, were selected to be sent as offerings to Crete. These unfortunate souls, marked by the cruel whims of fate, were destined for a grim fate sealed within the heart of the labyrinth. The labyrinth itself echoed with the anguished cries of those who entered its twisted corridors, their pleas for mercy falling on deaf ears. The Athenians, sent as tributes to the Minotaur, faced a grisly end, their lives sacrificed to satiate the insatiable hunger of the monstrous beast. The fate of these young Athenians was a testament to the darkness that had settled over Crete, a darkness born of forbidden desires, deceit, and the relentless pursuit of power. The Minotaur, a living embodiment of this darkness, would continue to cast its long shadow over the kingdom, and the labyrinth's corridors would reverberate with the echoes of their tragic sacrifices for years to come. As the gruesome cycle of tributes persisted, the kingdom of Crete teetered on the precipice of despair, its people living in fear and dread of the monstrous specter that lurked beneath the palace of Knossos. The tale of the Minotaur, a creature born of divine wrath and human folly, had become an enduring legend, a story of horror and tragedy. That is, until one man rose to the occasion. He volunteered his service to strike down the monstrous beast and stop the horrifying sacrifices of the Athenian people. That man's name was Theseus.